Christianity is an historical religion. Our faith isn't rooted in myths, but historical events and historical persons. We don't believe that the people of Israel found a shallow place to cross the Red Sea and then later wrote down that God parted the water for them. We believe that God actually parted the Red Sea in order to save them from the Egyptian soldiers. We don't believe that they came across a naturally occurring powder, named it manna, and then later wrote of it as bread from heaven. We believe that God caused manna in the wilderness for them for 40 years. We believe that Jesus was a real historical person who was born and lived, was crucified, and rose from the dead. Christianity is an historical religion. But our religion is not mere history. It's decidedly not about, oh, remember what Jesus did? Remember that? Remember, wasn't that great? Good for him. We remember what he did because he still does it today. Jesus continues to work in his church and in you and me today. In the gospel, Jesus says, it wasn't you who chose me, but I who chose you. In the first reading, Peter goes to the house of non-Jews, and he begins to tell them about Jesus. And out of the blue, the Holy Spirit falls upon them. What does that mean? It means they began to speak in languages that they didn't know. It means they began to glorify God for things that they didn't fully understand. It means that they spoke truths to each other with an insight that they had never known before. The Holy Spirit continues to fall on people today. If you want an experience of that, come to Newman on Saturday, May 18th. Up in the NPR, we'll have our Life in the Spirit seminar where we pray for that renewal and the falling down of the Holy Spirit. This example from the Acts of the Apostles was an example of the Holy Spirit choosing them, not they choosing God. And this continues to happen today. And that action of the Holy Spirit filled them with a joy that wasn't a joy of this world. You know, earthly joys. There are things like, my sports team won. That's pretty exciting. My classes are over. That's pretty exciting. I got a job. Probably more exciting for my parents than for me, but I got a job. But Jesus promises us the gift of his joy. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you. Earthly joys are fine. They're great. But Jesus' joy is different. It's a joy that comes from my fears being overcome. When the fear of failure no longer binds me, that's spiritual joy. When the fear of not being good enough no longer holds me back, that's spiritual joy. When the fear of not being accepted, of being rejected, of being alone is routed and cast out, that's spiritual joy. Spiritual joy comes with the overcoming of sin and the overcoming of fear. Now that overcoming isn't usually just a straight line of victory for us, in our lives at least. Remember that in this gospel, when Jesus is telling them about how much the Father loves them and how much he loves them, and how much he's calling them to his joy and to his love. Remember, he's speaking those words to one man who's about to betray him, and to another who's about to deny him, and to all 12 who are about to abandon and run away and leave him alone. Jesus knew that about the 12 as he looked them in the eyes and said, "As the Father loves me, so I love you. Remain in my love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy might be complete. This is my commandment. Love one another as I love you." Jesus is able to speak those words of love and joy because he has overcome worldly and demonic fear, even if the apostles were still subject to them. Jesus didn't say those words hoping that the apostles would be good little boys. He said them knowing that they wouldn't be. He said those words because they're true. He loves you today, regardless of the fact that you'll betray him tomorrow. And he wants his joy to find a place in you so that your fears may be overcome. In history, he told the apostles of his unconditional love for them. Today, he tells you and me as well. The second reading from the letter of St. John has an equally powerful message for us. He says, "And this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as expiation for our sins." The pattern is that God creates us and loves us regardless of how many times we turn away and forget him. He knows that, which is why he also sent his Son as expiation, as atonement, as healing for our sins. He has chosen you. It's not a matter of if or when. He has chosen you. And at the same time, knowing our struggles with sin and fear, he has sent Jesus, both in history, when he died on the cross, and still today, risen in the sacraments, risen in this community, and through his Holy Spirit that he pours today into our hearts. These things that we read about in Scripture, they still happen today. They happen in every Mass where the love of God is given to us in the Eucharist. They happen in the sacrament of confession, when our sins are replaced with a joy that comes only from Jesus. They happen when we read Scripture and pray in the quiet of our own room. Christianity is certainly an historical religion, but that history continues and is very much alive and active in you and me. Know, my friends, that today you are part of the ongoing history of the body of Christ. So, our response to this today of Jesus is to abide in his love for us. So homework for the week is this: hold on to the today of Jesus and hold on to our abiding in the today of his love and joy.